Story time. I'm going to tell you the story of my health journey and how I eventually became vegan, and maybe it'll help some people understand the lifestyle choice and maybe inspire some people to make some changes for the better of their health in their diet. So I like to tell people I've been on my health food journey for about 11 years now, and it didn't start with an end goal to be vegan. It just started as a means to be healthier. I was pretty overweight. I was 180 pounds and I'm 5'7". And I was very depressed, and I just woke up one day and realized how overweight I was, and I wanted to lose it, and I wanted results. So when I first started being more mindful of my lifestyle and diet, I kind of just went really fast into wanting to just lose weight, and it wasn't for health reasons. So the first thing I did was the lemonade diet, which is basically a lemonade that you drink anywhere between 10 to 20 days. And I did it for 40 days just because I wanted to be getting results fast, and I wasn't seeing results with what I was currently doing. So I did the lemonade cleanse, and I did it for 40 days, and I lost 40 pounds. But that was just because it was liquid that I was living off of. So after the 40 days, I reintroduced solid foods again, and I gained back the weight because I was eating food again. So I definitely don't recommend doing the lemonade cleanse, especially for 40 days. Too drastic of changes are not good. My last podcast was about gradualism, and that goes with everything in life. You know, you can't go straight from solid foods to liquids and think that your body is just going to be like, this is cool, I can handle this. It's going to go into shock. It's going to be like, wait, where's all that food that you were giving me? I got to hold on to everything that I have now because I don't know when I'm going to get the next source of food. It's all liquids that's been coming in. So you really have to be gentle, and you really have to take gradualism seriously and apply it into all aspects of your life. And this is something I learned the hard way. So I did the lemonade cleanse. I gained the weight back. I was unhappy, and I was uneducated. I was unaware of how to start this transition, to start this lifestyle change. So I went to Barnes & Noble, and I found a book, and it was called The Raw Detox Diet. And I was like, sweet, this is what I want. This is what I need. It looks pretty simple. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to do the raw detox diet and lose weight. And so literally in the book, the author says that you can eat all the fruits that you want and not gain weight. Like, it doesn't matter. You don't even have to count calories. You can just eat all the raw fruit. That's it. It's fine. And I was like, sweet, the book says so, so I'm gonna do it. And I ate a lot of fruit because it's healthy, it's natural. But fruit is sugar, and sugar in your body converts to fat. So when you see, you know, those tubs of licorice and it says fat free, there may not be any fat in the product, but there's a ton of sugar, and when that sugar is in your body and your body processes it, it converts it to fat. So don't fall for those fat-free signs. That's a warning one. And you can't just go ahead and eat all the sugar that you want. I mean, all the fruit, because it is sugar. It is glucose, and it breaks down and transfers into fat. And so I ended up gaining weight on the fruit diet. So that book really upset me and kind of just turned me off to the whole diet industry, and I was over it. Like, I just felt like everyone just wanted to make a buck, so they're just gonna put out this information that worked for them, But what it comes down to is we're all so different. Our diversity is what makes us an amazing community of people, what makes us humanity. But we're all so different that it's not just one formula that's going to fit. What worked for me might not work for you. You've got different obstacles in your life to overcome. You've got different relationships with food to overcome. I've found over the years that I'm an emotional eater, and that really, no matter how healthy I eat, if you're eating too much of anything, it's too much. And so we all have these different triggers that propel us into our behaviors, and it's important to understand yourself so that way you can make the necessary changes that align you with the life you want to live. So I went from the lemonade cleanse to the raw food cleanse, which really wasn't just raw food, it was raw fruit, and that's sugar. And then I was pissed, and I was like, you know what, screw this, I'm going to eat what I want. And I was kind of lost for a while. And then I had a job at a raw vegan juice bar, and this place changed my life. It was amazing. And I was really bummed when I ended up not working here anymore. I felt like I was super, like, dedicated to this place. And when I left, it was like breaking up with a boyfriend that you just grew apart from, where it hurts and it's so sad, but it's for the better. But I'm so grateful for this place that I worked at, that I learned so much, and it really changed my life and changed the path of my life. And so I have so much gratitude. But I learned a lot about raw foods and juicing. I learned when you make juices, you know, you're going to need a base. And a base is kind of the liquid that takes over the whole drink. It's kind of like a carrier oil when you've got essential oils. And you're making an oil blend, and you've got your concentrated essential oils, and then you need a carrier oil to put the few drops in so that way it lasts longer and carries it further. And that's what a base juice is. So cucumber juice, celery juice, when you juice the vegetables, that juice goes a lot farther. You get a lot more juice out of it. Apple juice is a base juice, but it's very sugary, like I said, with raw sugar. It's very sugary, and when you're doing juices, for the most part, you want the health benefits and you kind of want to cleanse, so it's best to cut out the sugar. And this is also why it's important to be mindful when you're just buying packaged juices. A lot of these have been made durable for shelf life, so they've been processed, and they're also made for consumers who your mass consumers who do shop at the grocery stores mostly don't like the very earthy taste that some juices without sugar can give. So when you shop for juices in the store, they're going to have a lot of sugar, and it's just something to be aware of, especially when you're trying to be mindful of your health. Sugar gets snuck in a lot of different ways in our foods, and it's actually really not good for us, even in natural sources. Like I said, and I will always say, and I will always repeat, too much of anything is not a good thing. Too much of anything is too much. So I was working at the juice place. I was learning how to make juices. I was learning all about base juices, and carrots are great base juices. They have some sugar. They also have carotene. They also have vitamin C. They carry a long way. They're really tasty. I love carrots. So then I started to learn about how you can make sauces with cashews. And that's so cool. Like, you can make cheese even with nutritional yeast. It's got this cheesy flavor. So I just became so fascinated, and although I worked at this vegan juice bar, raw juice cafe, I wasn't vegan myself. I still ate meat, but I was fascinated with the flavors and the tastes, and it was great, and it really inspired me to explore more into this style of cooking. And eventually, I mean, working at this place, I got discounts, as well as I worked in the kitchen. I was the food prep. And so we got to taste test things. And if there was extras, we got to eat it. And if, you know, things were no longer able to be on the shelf because they were past the expiration date and it was still good, we don't gonna throw it out, like, I would eat it. And so eventually I told myself, I was like, okay, I have all this access to all this raw food, I'm gonna do a raw cleanse, and I'm gonna see how long I can do it. Or maybe not a cleanse, but I'm gonna eat completely raw as long as I can. And I think I did it for about a week, and it was amazing. Like, amazing. I thought it would be hard, and so that's why I didn't want to put any, like, labels or restrictions on it. Like, I'm gonna do it for 5 days max. I was just like, I'm gonna take this one day at a time, and I'm just gonna see how I feel, and I'm gonna go off that. And I think that is how you should approach every situation. It's good to have a plan, it's good to be prepared, but I think it's most important to trust yourself and your intuition. And if something doesn't make you feel good, so it doesn't make you feel right, if it doesn't feel in alignment with where you want to be, I don't think you should do it. And it might be exciting and you're like, okay, I want to try this, but I think you should always listen to your body, because it's smarter than you. And any discomfort that you feel in your body or in your mind, that's a way of your soul telling you something's not in alignment, something's not right. So I think it's always important to pay attention. So I was taking this raw diet one day at a time just to see how long I could do it. And I did it for about a week, and every single day it just got easier and easier. And I'm telling you, I was on a literal high, a life high. I was eating raw food, full of life, full of nutrients, full of vitamins, full of energy. And so I was full of life and vitamins and energy, and it was amazing. It was amazing. I've come from a lot. I've done a lot. I've partied. I know the false highs that you get from substances, and this was like not even comparable. No, I didn't hallucinate. No, there was no, you know, like, tripping out, but it was just the most pure, immaculate, loving feeling to embody and to feel from food, from the things that I put in it. It can make me feel like this ball of light, and it was amazing. And the only reason I stopped was because I ended up running out of money, because the place that I worked at was it was kind of pricey for the meals and the juices, but I saw that it was totally doable, and I saw that it was something that my body liked and that I liked and that my soul liked. And so obviously, if all three dig it, then I want to keep doing it. That feels pretty aligned to me. So, and that was maybe like 5 years ago when I was working at this place. And then I stopped working there just because, you know, things kind of fell out of alignment with the company and me and my morals and my standards. And it just came somewhere that, although it had nourished me for a while and provided me with tools and knowledge to change myself for the better and eventually help inspire other people to change their lives, it was time for that chapter to close. And I'm so grateful that I had that job. I'm so grateful for what I learned, but it was time for that to exit my life, and it was okay. And I use that as a lesson to even look back nowadays when I have times that I want to hold on to something for some kind of reason, but it's not in alignment with my life. Just look back on all those times that you've let stuff go that helped you grow, and it did play a role in your life, but that role ended, as it does in all of our lives. Not everything is meant to last. You can have gratitude for the space that it gave you, for the knowledge, the tools, the lessons, the opportunities, and then you can let it go on its way to hopefully play that role in someone else's life, or to continue whatever it's supposed to do. But in your life, you're moving on to the next chapter. And that's what I did. And I think I went from, Oh, yeah. Okay. I was like, maybe I went to cake decorating. No, I like switched from cake decorating to the health food industry. And then from there, you know, my personal diet, it just slowly was just making changes here and there. I was still eating meat. I was still eating cheese. I wasn't vegan. I wasn't pescatarian. I didn't have any label for my diet. It was just, whole foods. Eating whole foods, real food, not processed, packaged food. Food that grows from the ground. Vegetables, fruits. In balance with each other. Not too much fruit for the overdose of sugar. But a balance, a healthy balance of whole foods. And then I started working at a gluten-free organic cafe. And when I was working there, I would cut out gluten because we didn't even sell anything with gluten. And I got a discount and I wanted to try the stuff there. So I cut out gluten for a few months and I noticed a drastic change in my skin. Like, I used to have all these bumps on my skin, my legs and my arms. They're little bumps. And I was too embarrassed when I would go to the doctors or even to tell my mom. Like, I thought I was a freak and there was something weird with me, and so I just didn't want to tell anyone, and I never knew what they were. So then later I ended up doing some research, and it's keratosis pilaris, and it's pretty common. And they have this salicylic body wash that's very harsh on your skin, but can help treat it. But the key word here is treat. This is a condition. This is a reaction your body is having, and it's a symptom. It's telling you something is not in alignment. But here we have society providing us with this body wash to treat these symptoms, not to cure it, not to find the source of the problem and to stop it, but to just treat these symptoms that occur from the misalignment that they don't want you to cure because you don't make money off cures. Anyways, that's probably going to be another podcast. But I noticed when I cut out gluten for the months that I did, my skin was the smoothest it's ever been. No bumps, no keratosis pilaris. And I still haven't have scientific research to back this up, but I do feel there is a connection between gluten and the keratosis pilaris on my skin and the bumps, because when I cut out the gluten, the bumps went away. And when I come back to gluten, I do love avocado toast, and I use sourdough bread, which is very, very low in its gluten use, but there's still some gluten, and I do notice the bumps on my skin, unfortunately. So that's what leads me to believe that it is connected. So if you cut out gluten and you have keratosis pilaris, I'd be interested to know if you notice a difference as well. But just these little things here and there, noticing, like, wow, I cut this out and this has changed on my body, like, this isn't something you're just born with, these conditions. These are something that is your body showing you signs that something's not in alignment. And the more you pay attention, the more you can understand the language of your body and what it's trying to tell you. And the more you pay attention, the more it'll talk to you and the more it will communicate with you when things are not in alignment. And it's a beautiful, beautiful relationship that you begin to build with your own body of understanding, listening, and honoring and realigning. It's amazing. So I was still eating meat, I was still eating cheese, but I was doing it in lighter portions, and I was being mindful of how much, and mostly eating a lot of vegetables with chicken. I cut out red meat pretty much. I was eating those like chicken sausages from Trader Joe's and regular chicken. And then, you know, just baby steps here and there, just cutting out processed foods, just listening to my body and doing what makes my body give me the most energy, feel the healthiest, is what I would do, and it feels amazing. Eventually, it got to the point where I was basically eating chicken only, and seafood. Sushi's good. And I can make a good vegan sushi, but, sushi was my go-to. These days, I just can't, go back to it because of the health reasons, and I'll get into that. So chicken and fish was what I was eating, and it was very rare. And then one day in the past 2 years, I was like, you know what, like, why not just try this vegan thing? Like, let's just cut out the meat, let's just eat the vegetables and see how I feel and see how long it goes. And when I started vegan, it was never like, I'm vegan now. It was just like, okay, I'm gonna do this for a day. Okay, it's 2 days now. Okay, now it's 3 days. And then after about a month, then I was like, okay, I think I'm vegan. But it just made more sense. And I remember years back thinking, like, I can never be vegetarian. I can never be vegan. Like, I was working out. I needed the protein. I was weak without it. I was telling myself this, so this was the reality that I was creating. I told myself I couldn't live without it, so I couldn't. If you tell yourself you can, and you try, why not see what happens? You know, we create our reality with our thoughts, with our beliefs. And I told myself for the longest time that I couldn't be vegan, and so therefore I wasn't vegan or vegetarian. And I told myself I needed the meat, so I supplied myself with the meat. But when I took these baby steps to a different path, a different lifestyle, I started to realize the self-limiting beliefs that I was casting upon myself, these spells that I was saying that I needed meat to live. And so in the end, I did. So that's something to be aware of too. The stories you're telling yourself, the spells that you're casting on yourself to behave the way that you behave, and to create the reality you're living in. If you tell yourself you need something to live and you believe it, well, then that's going to be your reality. But if you tell yourself something else, something that you live in compassion, that you honor your health, and that you listen to your body, maybe the story would be different. I'm just saying, why not give it a try? Anyways, back to my story. So I decided to give the veganism a try, and it felt great. It felt amazing. And I think this is something that I only know because I've been through, and I can only guess that this is a reason based on what I've been through. But I'm going to tell you about vegans and the mean vegans, the ones that are very judging and pointing fingers and angry vegans. They exist, and they're not nice. And the only thing that I can relate to or try to explain, and I can't even be 100% sure that I'm true or right, but I can just tell you what I experienced, and maybe it'll give you guys some empathy and some understanding of what other people are experiencing. And hopefully we can all just try to be compassionate with each other, because when I turned vegan, it was for health reasons. Mostly. Of course, it's horrible what they do to the animals. It's awful. It's torturous. It's disgusting. It's wrong on every single level. And I'm partly ashamed to say that it's the health reasons that turned me vegan. But I mean, it's all combined. It's the way they treat them. I don't support it. It's bad. But something I will admit, and I think it's important that if you do this, you don't have to admit it to everybody. You don't have to, but you need to admit it to yourself and acknowledge. Be honest. For me, I was willfully ignorant about the abuse and the torture that animals went through. People would post the videos, the torture videos about the farms. They would post the facts about what was happening to these animals that people are eating. And it was gross. It's uncomfortable. I don't want to see that. It's disgusting. Turn it off. I'm going to eat my food in peace while you post your video. Like, I don't want to see that. I was willfully ignorant to the abuse and the torture so that I could continue to eat my food in peace, my dead animals. I could continue to eat my chicken salad in peace. Well, the more and more I learned about food and about health, and yeah, you can get this free-range chicken and it's organic, that doesn't mean anything. Maybe they're not being fed the antibiotics, but free-range chickens are still confined. They are still overpopulated, and they are still tortured and quote-unquote humanely killed, which is impossible to humanely kill someone. There's that one man who gave a talk, and he's saying, like, oh, so if your brother or sister was asleep and I walked up and I pulled the trigger to their head while they're sleeping and they didn't feel the pain, I mean, I humanely killed them, right? You still don't have your brother or sister. They're still not here. They're still murdered. They're still dead. So there's no way to humanely kill an animal. And the way that these animals are killed, that this is not humane. They know they're dying. They know that they're being tortured, and this goes even deeper, and I'm going to get into it. But for the health reasons, with the way these animals are treated, when they die, they are in fear, and they are in pain, and they excrete adrenaline at the moment of death. This adrenaline flows through their body into the meat, into their muscles. It tensions up their muscles. That's what adrenaline is for, fight or flight. And they are in a dance where they cannot flight. They cannot run. They have to fight. And their body only knows to shoot out adrenaline, which goes straight into their muscles right before death. So now there's this dead, scared animal with adrenaline coursing through its body in all the meat of its body that you're about to eat. Energy is everything. Energy makes up everything. Your body is energy. Like, nothing is a solid. Everything is moving energy. So you think about it. You're eating death. You're eating this dead adrenaline from this animal who was in fear. And people complain, oh, my steak was really tough. I want a new one. They're all going to be tough. They were all killed in pain. They were all killed in torture. They were all killed in fear. That adrenaline is in every single piece of meat. And not only that, but when you eat that, you're eating that energy, that negative, low vibration, and you're putting that in your body. Versus compared to a raw fruit salad, a raw vegetable salad, raw veggies that are filled with life, nutrients, vitamins. You're eating life versus eating death. So just think about that. Then let's maybe get into the topic of hormones and GMOs and antibiotics in your meat. I've come to realize that the things they sell as food, the stuff they market as food, is poison. It is poison. We've been had. This is the biggest scam. And it made me angry. So angry. So angry that I've been lied to. So angry that I've been fooled. I've been bamboozled. They lied to me about my health. They lied to me about what food is. They're giving me poison. And then, on top of it, this poison that they're disguising as food that makes us sick, that kills us, that gives us disease, then they give us drugs for these diseases, for these symptoms that are arising out of this poison that they're feeding us. And these drugs don't cure these symptoms. These drugs fuel them. These drugs only treat the outbreaks. They don't cure the cause. They don't get to the source. And then you go deeper and you start to realize that the food, aka the poison that they're feeding you, and the drugs they are prescribing you go hand in hand. That the food companies are supported and funded by the drug companies, Big Pharma, and Big Pharma supports, advertises, and endorses the poison, the food that you're being sold. They're in bed with each other. They fund each other. They keep the populations, society down, low vibe, sick, needy, hungry, and it's a cycle. And I am so angry about this and so fed up at it. And we've all been bamboozled. It's like, take the blindfold off your eyes and see. This is why you should go vegan. This, because they're doing this to the animals, but you're eating what they're doing to the animals. Not only are you supporting it, but you're eating it. You're eating that pain. You're eating that fear. You're eating that adrenaline. Why would you do that? You wouldn't consciously. You wouldn't do that. That's insane for someone who would consciously, knowingly do that. Put poison in their body. Like, they've lied to us. And I found out, and that is what turned me vegan. And what kept me vegan is the amazing benefits that you feel. You're like, okay, this is in alignment with how I want to feel. This is really how I want to feel. When you eat food, aka poison, and you feel full, that you can't move, you feel inflated, you feel tired, you feel almost sedated, you feel lethargic. That is not normal. Food is energy. It is supposed to give you energy. You are eating poison if you feel any of that in any way from what you eat. Please be aware of this. So, now I'm going to move into the angry vegans. For me, what I've realized when I turned vegan, I think, and I've noticed this in a few friends, so I have a hypothesis that this is something that occurs. Where we know projection, we understand projection, where if we don't heal our wounds internally, we can project them onto others, and we will see that pain everywhere, and we will accuse others of causing that pain that is really something that is internal that we just haven't healed from. So when I had my eyes awakened to this whole industry and that I've been bamboozled. I just can't say it enough. I've been bamboozled. I was angry. Not only at society for lying and big corporations for deceiving, I was angry at myself for being so willfully ignorant and supporting something that was so abusive and torturous to these poor, poor animals, these poor souls. I was angry. And I projected. It's easy to, once you're out of the fog, it's easy to point it out to the people that are in it and be like, oh my gosh, look, look, because you're no longer in it and you feel so bad and it comes possibly from a place of good, wanting to try to help people. But if you're not healed from that wound, that original wound, even if your intention is to help people, you're still going to be acting out of pain from that wound that's unhealed, and you will still hurt people in the process. And this is where I think the angry vegans come from, is a projection of the guilt they feel from their previous lifestyle choices, as well as a desperate cry to try and wake other people up. But because there is not a healed wound, it's the projection, and it's hurt, and it's hurting other people. Because I've taken a time back. I mean, there was a time where I was like, don't do this, you're doing this, and this is what you're supporting, and it's just, you want to wake people up. But it's also, I'm so sorry, and I know I'm guilty, and I'm punishing myself. But instead of actually punishing myself, I'm punishing you. And we all know when you point at someone, you've got three fingers pointing back. And it's been over a little over a year that I've been vegan, and I'm starting to realize, you know, like, had I encountered an angry vegan on my lifestyle transition of 10 years, anywhere in between there, actually, you know what, I have, and it did turn me off to veganism. I was like, vegans are crazy, vegans are mean. And now after it being about a year, a little over a year of being vegan, I realized, like, okay, I've healed from my wounds. Like, yes, I was uninformed, willfully ignorant. I did things that I'm not proud of. I supported an industry that I am so against, and I am sorry, and I forgive myself because I did not know any better. And now that I do, and now that I have taken action, and now that I have the knowledge, and I am able to make these changes, I'm doing so. I can't control anyone else's behavior. I can't control anyone else's actions. I can't control anyone else but myself. And so that is what I will focus on. I will focus on me. I will make the best meals that make me feel amazing. I will show the world. I will post them. I will make a recipe book. I will make a cookbook. I will provide the tools and the knowledge to everyone who is interested in how to live a vegan lifestyle and how to live a healthy lifestyle and how to live a compassionate lifestyle. I will lead by example. And if I inspire people along the way, great. But the only person I have control over is me. The only person that I need to work on changing is me. Everything else falls in alignment. I don't need to get angry at you or anyone else for eating pork. I don't need to get angry. I don't need to get upset. I don't need to point fingers and tell you that you're wrong, because we all have our own path to go, and we all have our own speed at which we learn things and change and grow. And for me to try and force that on you, that's not okay. I need to let things happen organically, naturally, and just be me. It's kind of like the flower quote, like a flower doesn't compete with another flower. Like a sunflower doesn't sit there next to a daisy and say, like, you need to stand up taller, you need to grow taller, and you need to be more yellow and bigger, like me. Like, no, dude, let the daisy be the daisy and let the sunflower be the sunflower. They let each other be and they both bloom. And that's what I've come to realize over time. And I think it's just something that you do realize with time and self-love and acceptance and healing. And so when we learn these lessons, whatever it may be, but when we heal and we grow, I really feel like it's super, super crucial and important as a race of humans to share this, to share your knowledge, to share your tools, to share your information, to share the growth, to share your lessons, so that we can all have a bigger grasp, a bigger perspective. We can all have a more sophisticated outlook that encompasses everyone, so that we can all be connected as we are already, but that we can honor this connection. We can see it, we can give it space, we can trust each other to make our own decisions based on our own lives, and we can honor that and we can allow it. I like to tell people baby steps are still steps, no matter how long it takes you. I had a friend when I was in college who told me, it's not a race, it's a perseverance test. This life is not a race, it's not who gets to be rich the first, who does, it's a perseverance. How much can you persevere through the bad? How much can you persevere through the ups and the downs? Like, how much can you persevere for your soul to expand and transcend and grow? Like, that's what this is. This is a level, this is a playing field for your soul. This is it's an avatar. It's a game where your soul gets to come and experience the things that it normally can't in the soul world. Like, we don't have, like, everything's energy, but in this world, it's a physical manifestation. We have physical things that our soul gets to experience. When you hug someone, hug them and feel it and experience it, because in the soul world, in the energy world, we don't have that physical touch. When you taste something, taste it, feel it, enjoy the juiciness that squirts out of an orange. Look at the veins. Explore this world so deeply, because this is only temporary, and this is an experience that we will hold on to in our subconscious for eternity, but only as our conscious can hold on to it. This is not a physical thing we will hold on to for eternity. So enjoy it and take it in and savor every moment. Find the beauty in every moment. Find the magic, find the curiosity, and find just the pure ecstatic joy in every moment, because it's there. And honor your brothers and sisters and love them. And the more that you just move to a more compassionate, inviting, appreciative life. I promise you, the more things will align. And it just seems that the vegan lifestyle is in alignment with those actions. And I know you can live a compassionate, beautiful, joyous, harmonious life when you eat meat. It's not what it comes down to. It's what it comes down to, what's in alignment for you. I honor you. I see you. I love you. I give you this space. I'm sorry if I have ever cast any judgment on you for your lifestyle, for your choices. I know, I understand, and I honor that we are all doing the best we can with what we have been given in this life. I see you. I respect you. I see myself, and I respect myself. I heal myself. And when I heal myself, I heal others. When I heal myself, I prevent myself from passing on pain. I pass on love instead. This is why I choose health. Health is wealth. Health, this body, is the only thing we have in this lifetime. It's the only thing that's guaranteed to be with us from the moment we enter this dimension to the moment that we leave, is this body. Make it your best friend. Don't make it your enemy. Make it something you enjoy being with, because you're with it 24/7 whether you want to be or not. Listen to it. It speaks to you often. And if you're just always ignoring your friends, would they want to be your friends? Listen to your body. Don't ignore it. Make it your friend. Make it your best friend. Make it your companion. Love it. Love yourself. Heal yourself. I'm going to make another podcast about being vegan, but this was kind of mostly supposed to be about my health journey and just to show you and tell you my story. And everyone's story is different, but just that there's hope for everyone. And I apologize sincerely if I've judged you in the past or for your lifestyle. I'm always learning and always growing, and I'm becoming more and more aware and understanding of how to be and live a more compassionate, open, loving, and understanding life. And thank you for sharing this space with me. Please feel free to message me any questions you have about lifestyle changing, veganism, healthy life choices. I'm working on the recipe book and the cookbook just so I can provide that knowledge to you all, because knowledge is power, and that's how we change, and that's how we advance, that's how we grow. When we share it, not hoard it, we must share and grow together. I hope you learned something. I hope there's something you could take away from this. And I love you. Thank you.